Hello. So last week we talked about Paul's letter to the Romans. We talked about it having a great plan for us to be saved and for us to be a part of God's work of salvation. And we also talked about the need for a map, a way to help us to understand it. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8, which we can use as a way to understand the wider letter to the Romans. And in this, I have to give full credit to Tom Wright, the former Bishop of Durham, an incredible theologian, God wordsman, who has worked for years. His specialism has been the New Testament. He's released his own translation of it, which I got for Christmas as a gift. He writes some books in the For Everyone series. So Paul for Everyone, Matthew for Everyone, Luke for Everyone. They are well worth getting hold of. If you want to have a try of some of them, we've got a selection of them already and we're looking to expand. They are some of the best study guides for the New Testament that we've come across in many, many, many years. Indeed, if I had to get rid of almost all of the books on this bookshelf, the For Everyone series is one that I would be keeping. Romans. So Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is probably one of the most famous starts to a chapter that Paul has written. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And whenever the Apostle Paul writes the word therefore, it is important that we ask what it is there for. What comes before? And actually, Romans 8, 1 to 4, this bit you've just heard read, encapsulates the first four chapters of Paul's letter to the Romans. If you've had a chance to watch the Bible Project video on Romans, the video that I gave you, that beautiful layout of Romans 4, there'll be some at the back of church today. Chapters 1 to 4 are an opening sequence. And what those chapters do is they lay out Paul's description of the problem. They lay out Paul's great analysis of what has happened to this point. The gospel, the good news, reveals God's righteousness. And in revealing God's righteousness, it highlights the sinfulness of humanity. So we compare God's great, bright righteousness with the darkness of sin-stained humanity. And indeed, what I should have said at the beginning, you might want to grab some of the Bibles over there, over on the Bible bookshelf, where you can see all the books of the Bible, over by the disciples board. You might want to grab that, turn that around. You'll see some NIVs there. The words may be very slightly different because that's a slightly older version of the NIV than the ones that I'm using. But grab those. Also, if you've got your phones, it's always a good idea to get an app that allows you to read the Bible. We use the YouVersion app, the Bible app. And there's several people in church who will be able to help you install that. Get it set up so you can read the Bible on your phone. You don't have to carry a Bible around with you anymore. You've got lots of search tools, lots of ways to investigate the Bible. So when you get the NIV, when you open it at Paul's letter to the Romans, you'll see little subheadings. Well, they aren't there in the original text. They've been added by the authors of the NIV to help us find our way around. But they are really helpful to get an overview. So Romans 1, Paul starts by saying hello and then longing to visit Rome. But then he talks about God's wrath and judgment. God's wrath against the sinfulness of the world and his judgment. And Paul says, yeah, no one is immune to this. Everybody can see what is right and good. And when they don't do it, they come under judgment. He then goes on to talk about the Jews and the law. God's great plan stretches back through history. He called a family through Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob and then through Joseph to create a people. With Moses, he took that people to the promised land. With Joshua and the judges, that land was established. Then, through Samuel, we get Saul and David to be the kings of Israel. And then Solomon, but then the kingdom divides between Israel and Judah. And then we get this descent into chaos, leading to the exiles, and then finally leading to the return under Nehemiah and Ezra, and then that gap of 400 years before the birth of Jesus. The Jews are part of God's plan, and Paul describes their part in God's plan. The Jews have a place within this story. Paul then talks about God's faithfulness. He talks about that no one is righteous unless they're made righteous by faith. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then he talks about Abraham being justified by faith. Abraham, who never knew Jesus, had never heard of Jesus, had never experienced Jesus, was justified by faith. So how does Romans 8, 1 to 4 help us to understand? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, this is a biggie. I have struggled for many, 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 many years to be able to teach about the law. Because deep down inside, I've always felt like the law was plan A, and then when it failed, God sent plan B. But I know that that's not correct. I know that that cannot be correct. Because Jesus says, I haven't come to do away with the law, I've come to fulfill the law. Paul says that the Spirit is given, that sin is condemned in Jesus in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be met in us. Paul isn't doing away with the law. In fact, at the start of Romans 1, he says the law applies to everyone. Not just to Jews, not just to Gentiles who understand who Jesus is, but to everyone, because God's rules for living in this world are baked in. Compassion, kindness. There isn't a culture in the world that doesn't have a morality. It might not exactly match one for one with our Christian, Judeo-Christian, Western, Greek philosopher, Platonic morality. But every community in the world creates a morality. I was looking at a reel the other day, and they found the remains of someone who lived something many tens of thousands of years ago. And this person had such a serious injury to their skull that there could be no way that they weren't permanently paralysed down one side. And yet, that injury has not only healed, it happened when they were quite young, it's healed, and they lived to about 40, which is immensely old for that time period. Even in the earliest days of human beings becoming human, there was compassion and care. The rules that God baked into the universe are universal rules. I don't think you can argue, well, your morality doesn't constrain me. Yes, I think it does. I think there is an underlying moral basis to our universe because God put it there. And Romans 1 says that. So God, to Moses, codifies that, puts it in writing, gives him the law, so that his people can follow God's righteous requirements. And some of them do, and lots of them don't. And we see again and again and again in the stories of Scripture, there are righteous people, some of the prophets, some of the kings, some of the judges are righteous and good people who follow the law and who live it out in the way that God intended. The law isn't plan A, where Jesus is plan B. The law is the plan. But its plan, Tom Wright would say, is slightly different than you might have been taught. Tom Wright would argue that Paul almost personifies sin. In the Bible, wisdom is often spoken of as a person, as a woman, actually. Wisdom is known by her children. And again and again, is almost given the status of a person. In Paul's letter to the Romans, sin almost has that same feeling, that somehow sin is this powerful force at work in the world. And when sin is at work in human hearts, the law condemns it, because that's the job of the law. Indeed, by creating a people, Tom Wright would say, by calling out the Jewish people to be God's chosen people, God is trying to draw sin out of hiding. It can no longer hide behind the sort of the mushy morality of everybody's got their own way of doing it. No, we know now what God's righteous law is. And so when it's not kept, sin is obvious. It's drawn out into the open. It's revealed. It's like sin is this sort of sinister sleeper cell of agents scattered throughout the world, causing low-level destruction and terrorism. And a law is created that draws those sleeper cells out into the open, where they can be finally dealt with on the cross, where the death of Jesus can bring an end to the sin, where Jesus takes that sin onto himself. Like, I don't know if you remember, on the Day of Atonement, Jewish people would go to the temple and they would confess their sins, and the priest would lay hands on a goat, and the sins of the people will be transferred onto the goat, and then the goat will be sent out beyond the walls of the city. It was known as the scapegoat. The goat was not guilty, but the sin of the people was transferred to the goat. In the same way, our sin that's been revealed by the law is placed on Jesus. Now, I've got an analogy for this, and you'll have to forgive me for this one. My stepdad, Ken, when my mum married him, he had a lump just back here. It was like a giant sort of skin lump. And he'd had it looked at by doctors, and it wasn't anything malignant. But it was odd, and it would irritate, and it would sort of rub against a low collar. My mum swore by something called zinc oxide paste. It's this, I think it was a pink paste. She kept it in a little, tiny little tip tree jam jar with a label on it with her handwriting on it. I can picture it now. And if you got a splinter in your finger that you couldn't dig out, she'd put some of this zinc paste on a plaster and put it over it. And the zinc oxide would cause the thing to be drawn out. And so my mum did this on this lump on the back of my stepdad's neck for years and years and years. Even though it looked like it was fruitless, it looked like it wasn't going to work, my mum was faithful in doing that. And then there came a day when the front of that blob, that bleb, opened up, and there was a tiny little dark dot that looked like a blackhead. So she squeezed it, nothing happened. So she carried on with the zinc paste and carried on and carried on. This got bigger and bigger. And eventually, the day came when she could squeeze it, and a tiny little lump of coal came out, a speck of coal that had obviously got embedded in Ken's back when he worked at Brodsworth. And the blob healed and was gone. But it took years for the zinc oxide to draw that out to the point where it could be dealt with. Do you see the analogy now? The law was designed to draw sin out into the open, in the midst of God's people, to be revealed, so all could see sin at work in the world clearly and it be defined, so that then at the right moment, Christ could come and take that sin away and set us free. What the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, the law couldn't bring that righteousness, because sinfulness, the sinful nature of human beings, meant that the law always condemned. Once sin was revealed and on the cross dealt with, the law could then do what it was always intended to do, which is to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law in us, because we don't live according to the flesh, because that was crucified with Christ. We live according to the Spirit, because that is his gift of grace. And that is why there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law no longer condemns because of sin. It brings righteousness because of Christ's forgiveness. The law was always part of the plan. And that's where Romans starts. This great plan of God does include the Jews. Abraham was not a discarded plan A. Paul tells us Abraham was justified by faith. Abraham's in, as is Isaac, as is Jacob. Moses and Elijah meet with Jesus on the Mount of the Transfiguration. We can't throw away the Old Testament. It's an absolutely essential part of God's great plan. Through the work of the law amongst God's chosen people, sin is brought to a head at the point where then in Jesus that can be taken and dealt with through his death on the cross. That's why there is no condemnation, because we no longer live in a law that is powered to condemn sin, but we live with the law that raises up the righteous, and we have been made righteous through Jesus Christ. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. We who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's the start of God's great plan. How wonderful to be a part of God's great plan. How wonderful to live now with no condemnation. And we know it. Abraham lived that because of his faith and trust in God. But we can be sure of that because of Jesus. Jesus has set us free. But he set us free as part of a bigger plan. This is the first bit of our roadmap. We need to know how we got to here. We need to know how we enter into this great plan of God. And it's because of God's faithful people bringing sin to a head under God's plan so that Jesus could deal with it. I hope that makes sense for you. Because when I read that first chapter of Tom Wright's book, my head exploded. Jackie will tell you, I've been going around going, it just makes sense. It just makes sense. It finally makes sense to me. And I really, really hope it makes sense to you. If it doesn't, message me. Message on the church group. If this hasn't been enough, message me. And we'll try and find a way to do some more work on this through the course of the week. Maybe I'll do another video through the course of the week trying to help you understand this. Because it's important that we understand this. This is the starting. This is where the therefore is there for. God's, the gospel, the good news about Jesus reveals God's righteousness and reveals the place of sin in the world, which is dealt with through Jesus. And next week, we'll start to see what then happens next. What is the next part of the plan? Jesus has dealt with sin so that the law can bring righteousness. So there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But his plan is to create a new humanity with a purpose. We have been called for a purpose, to be a part of this great plan that God has been working through from the beginning. Jesus is not plan B. Jesus is always the plan. Shall we pray? Jesus, thank you that through your death on the cross, the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death, and that there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. And if you're not sure today, if you're someone that's still looking, if you're not sure where you stand with Jesus, then I invite you to take that step today. I invite you to say yes to him. If you've been coming for a few weeks and you're at the point where you want to say, Jesus, yes. If you've been coming for a long time and you never really felt that you've made that yes to Jesus, say yes to him today. And leave that state of condemnation because your sin is dealt with on the cross, and then become the righteousness of God. Those revealed to be the glory of God out and at work in the world. And if you want to say yes to Jesus now, pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross to pay the price for my sin. I am sorry. Will you forgive me? I submit to you as my Lord and my God. Thank you that you came to be my Saviour, my Captain, my Brother, my Rescuer, and my Friend. Saviour, Captain, Brother, Rescuer, and Friend. I give my life to work for your great plan, now and always. Amen. So going to listen to a piece of music now, talking about Jesus, who is the one who is able now to save what we commit to him. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me hath been made known, or how unworthy as I am, he claims me as his own. But I know whom I've believed in. He's able now to save what I've committed unto him until that final day.